Hi, I'm Lisa Prather, and welcome to The Voice of Health with our host, Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where lives are changed every day through the natural approach to healthcare.
Well, we're going to start the show today with an update on the coronavirus. And Dr. Prather, we've heard from our listeners that they appreciate our updates. They're informative and give them hope. So there's a lot of panic out there. What would you say to people that are panicking right now?
Well, of course, panic is never something that should be done. One of the things you want to do is not get stressed because that weakens your immune system. Mm-hmm. Caution is a very wise type of thing. We should take this seriously. It is a national emergency, mm-hmm. a worldwide emergency. And we just need to use proper judgment, not let things get out of hand and panic, you know, going out and buying all the toilet paper and stuff like that. You want to just be thinking about those types of things.
Wasn't there something, I mean, this is not a time to be funny, but this was funny.
Yeah.
What did you see about
that? A big one that's going around is who's behind this, you know, the Scooby-Doo type of thing, uh-huh. where they would always unmask the person who was behind it, and they pulled off the mask, and it was the Charmin Bear.
Yeah, Charmin's doing well.
It's something that, you know, we need to be sensitive to people. Most people are recovering from this. Mm-hmm. It is people who are at high risk. Again, those people who are at high risk are people with preconditions with lungs, heart problems, high blood pressure seems to be a big factor on that. Diabetes, immune suppressed, the elderly, and then the very young.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I, you know, I heard something, we can worry or we can pray, and which one will lead to peace?
Sure.
Worry surely doesn't. So that's one thing I've been trying to do is if I go to worry is to pray.
Yeah, and of course, this isn't the first time that this has happened. Pandemics have been occurring for thousands of years.
Yeah.
The last one that we hit was 2009, the swine flu, and we had 200,000 deaths with that.
You know, that wasn't that long ago.
No.
Interesting.
And you said that you don't even really remember that.
No.
And right now in the world, there's 8,997 deaths. So
that's worldwide for the coronavirus.
That's worldwide. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there was 200,000 deaths with the swine flu. So putting that into perspective, 1968, the Hong Kong flu had 1 million deaths. Mm-hmm. 1957, the Asian flu had 1.1 million deaths. So,
put that in perspective, worldwide we've had how many?
Worldwide we've had 8,997 deaths.
And here in the United States?
97.
Okay. What are the updated guidelines now?
Well, the guidelines right now, of course, is avoid crowds, don't get into large groups, anything over 10 people. Wash your hands frequently, very important type of thing. Work from home if that's possible. Disinfect, one of the things that you can talk about is what we're doing for the disinfection right now.
Yeah, we have a company coming in once a week that are sanitizing, and it's same grade as hospital sanitizer. Coming in and sanitizing every nook and cranny in our office. So that's something we're going to do right now, weekly.
Yeah, and then if you feel sick, isolate yourself. Mm-hmm. That's a very important type of thing, being aware of the possibility of spreading it. So really separating yourself if you are feeling sick.
So what are you doing at the Prather Practice to protect your patients? And we are open seeing patients.
We are. Of course, we're having people who are sick not to come in. We can actually deal with people over the phone. Mm-hmm. We can Skype. We can send different types of products to them. So we can take care of you even if you're not in our office. Mm-hmm. We also have an immune boosting package that we offer, which we'll talk about. The other things is that we're taking everyone's fever. We're trying to make sure there's no exposure.
Or their temperature.
Yeah, checking their temperature on everybody who comes in just to make sure that that's okay. We do have masks there that anybody who has any type of cough, anything like that, they're supposed to wear. You know, just trying to make sure. And then we're wiping down everything on like a minute-by-minute basis.
Yeah. every table.
Right. We're really trying to keep everything sanitized. You know, any type of contact with patients, we're trying to use gloves. Mm-hmm. So all those different types of precautions are really good to use in any type of office and then also in your life. Just trying to cut down on the spread.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about telemedicine now and how have guidelines changed during this crisis?
Well, one of the things is that Medicare announced that they're going to be covering telemedicine. Mm-hmm. They're also cutting down on the HIPAA requirements, so it's a much easier. You don't have to have special type of procedures along those lines just to allow that. So those telemedicine, either phone call or Skype or any of those types of things, are covered now by Medicare and also supposedly by all the insurances. Mm-hmm. I haven't been able to talk to all of them, but most of the major ones are saying that they're covering that.
Yeah.
So you can call up your doctor at this point, and they will be able to get paid for that.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of this, a lot of your care can be done not in person anymore. So that's something that we have available at our office and something that we're doing.
Okay. Well, what is the new information that came out from the World Health Organization just the other day?
Yes, there is a recommendation that people not to use steroid or non-steroidal anti-inflammatories because there seems to be a reaction with the enzyme, with the COVID-19, that is causing severe inflammation, going right into pneumonia. There's sort of a reaction according to that.
Mm-hmm.
Might be one of the problems that people are having with the COVID-19 and why it can be so dangerous.
So those are like your ibuprofens?
Yes, ibuprofen, all those, even steroids, you have to be real careful with right now. There seems to be a reaction along those lines. At least that's the, it's not confirmed, but they are doing research on it. Lancet actually put out an article that there seems to be a connection.
Okay, interesting. So we've put together an immune booster package at the Prather Practice that we're selling, and you can go online at thevoiceofhealthradio.com and place your order.
Yeah, one of the big things along those lines, there's three of them.
Mm-hmm.
There's beta carotene, which is a precursor to vitamin A. Vitamin A is probably one of the major front lines for upper respiratory infections. Very well proven to one, help prevent them, and also to mitigate them mm-hmm. if you do have them. So getting beta carotene is a really good thing. The other thing that we offer is something called Vericidin, which is specifically for viruses, and it has a cell wall strengthening aspect to it. And which is very important because the stronger the cell wall is, the less that the virus actually goes from cell to cell.
Mm-hmm.
Because what they do is they puncture in, go in there, replicate, burst the cell, and then go on to the next one. That's why they tear up the lungs and you start to get pneumonia. And this actually helps to prevent that. The other thing is that we have homeopathy. Homeopathics helps the body to identify the pathogens. It helps to kind of get it set for it, sort of like a aha moment.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same philosophy as doing allergies. So what they do is they give you a little tiny amount
of
something.
The allergy shots. Yeah.
Right, and it stops the inflammatory reaction. Well, what this does is to the theory behind it. Now, it's sort of a unproven theory at this point, but we've seen the evidence of its effectiveness.
Yes.
Is it helps the body to identify the infection and really helps to mitigate that. And the big thing that's a problem with the COVID-19 is because it's brand new to people.
Mm-hmm.
It's never been in the human population, so we don't really have a defense against it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why people, it's more of a dry cough instead of a moist cough, because the body's not reacting to it.
Mm-hmm.
The body's defenses are extremely important. And so what we're doing with this package is rallying the body's defenses so that you have a stronger resistance. And that's one of the more important things that you can possibly do.
Yeah, so those are the three products. And again, you can get those online at thevoiceofhealthradio.com.
Sure.
or you can call us at 317-848-8048, and we can send that out to you.
And then we also have natural pancreatic enzyme type products and bromelain, and those can be much more, don't seem to be having a problem with the COVID-19 mm-hmm. for inflammation. So there are better ways to actually fight the inflammation.
So we have some natural anti-inflammatory.
Again, the importance of structure function care.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that. Why is structure function care so important at this time?
Well, one of the things is that pharmaceuticals are designed to combat the infection itself, whereas structure function works on your own body's health and well-being. Almost all pharmaceuticals weaken the natural defenses of the body, even though that they go after and very, very important for fighting the infections. Mm-hmm. When you're talking about structure function care, you don't develop the viruses, bacteria, don't develop the resistance to it. Mm-hmm. So you're just working on your own strength, so it's something that will always be applicable and always something that will work.
Mm-hmm. Very important.
Yes, a very important part of our healthcare system, and unfortunately it's underrepresented in our healthcare system right now, and something that we as a nation are going to have to bump up to be effective.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you also talked about with the Spanish flu, the homeopathic hospitals, they had homeopathic hospitals and allopathic hospitals.
Right.
The homeopathic hospitals had a more of a success rate.
Well, because they had something that actually worked at that time. The pharmaceutical industry had nothing mm-hmm. to fight the flu, whereas the homeopathics were able to make up something rather quickly and, quite frankly, extremely effective.
Okay. Dr. Prather, any more on that update?
Well, main thing is not to panic, keep your stress level, take care of yourself, get plenty of rest, try to avoid, you know, contact, if at all possible. The longer you can go, the better off you are.
Yeah, and enjoy your time with your family. It's time to pick up that new book you've been wanting to read. For me, I'm going to be able to finish preparing our taxes.
There you go. Hopefully that doesn't cause stress.
Now we got an extension.
Right? Oh, there you go. Okay, great. All right.
All right. Well, up next, we'll talk about coronavirus and pneumonia.
You can win a free 60-minute massage in a relaxing spa at the Prather Practice. Each month, we have a drawing to give away a free massage to one of our lucky Facebook and Twitter fans. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice.
What role do hormones play in weight loss?
Oh, extremely important. An example would be I had a patient came in, and she was overweight and really concerned about it, did some blood tests, and she was wanting to get started in a dietary program. And she showed up that she was hypothyroid. I said, you know, it's going to be completely useless to be starting you on a diet program until we get your hormones set. Mm-hmm. So hormones really make a tremendous difference on whether people can lose weight or not. So we got her thyroid all set to where it should be, and she lost 60 pounds.
Wow, just by having her hormones balanced.
Just by getting her thyroid mm-hmm. balanced. And she didn't change her diet. She didn't do anything. She hadn't even started on any. All of her friends were wanting to come in and lose 60 pounds and take those few supplements to accomplish that. I've had a gentleman who I knew, we just got his testosterone up to par, and he lost 25 pounds just simply by getting his testosterone balanced out.
So how are the hormones evaluated?
The best way is blood work. So this is not something that we're guessing at. This is something that we know. We can know exactly what every single portion of your hormones are doing. We can get in there and really break it down and see what's happening. And then we know how to naturally bring that back into par. And that's an important part of what we do. And that's something that's unique within our office, that we can really make a big difference on a natural type of basis to really bring those hormones back into balance. One of the interesting things is that very few people are balanced. That's one of the things that we find as we really check that out. There's very few people that have a good working endocrine system and a balanced hormonal system. And again, we're all about homeostasis. Bring that back into normal, and it's amazing how many things are corrected. The two things that control everything are the nervous system and the endocrine system. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the first thing that you have to do is get the endocrine system balanced. We're not going to start a fat loss program until we know what your endocrine system, what your hormones are doing.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. The Prather Practice, restoring hope. You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, the most comprehensive wellness center in the Midwest.
Well, we're talking today about pneumonia, Dr. Prather, and with all that's going on with the coronavirus. Mm-hmm. And what is pneumonia?
Well, pneumonia is when the lungs get filled up with fluid. Mm-hmm. It's an inflammatory process. You have the alveoli, which are the air sacs in the lungs, and when those start to fill up with fluid, then it becomes very difficult to breathe. And basically, that's what pneumonia is the filling of the air sacs with fluid, inflammation, pus, all those types of things.
Okay, so how serious is pneumonia?
Well, pneumonia, they kind of combine flu and pneumonia as the eighth leading killer in America. Hmm. So it's a very deadly type of thing that can occur. You have to go on a ventilator to try to get that fixed. But it's basically the pneumonia that kills people. Mm-hmm. So when people have the flu, they don't usually die from the flu. It's the secondary pneumonia that occurs that actually winds up killing people.
Now, is this what's happening with coronavirus?
This is exactly what's happening with the coronavirus. Mm-hmm. So people are getting the pneumonia on top of the coronavirus, because what happens with the virus is it goes down. Well, it can actually be viral, bacterial, fungal, or mycoplasma. Any of those different types of infections, and they damage the lungs, and then the lungs has an inflammatory process to try to counter that. And when it becomes overwhelming to the body, you can't breathe. You know, it's sort of like drowning internally. Because you can't get the oxygen in to actually be able to get the exchange going on. So this is really what is important to try to avoid, that you prevent pneumonia from occurring. And the people who have the mild cases are the ones who it doesn't develop into this. This is the thing that actually is what, when you go to the emergency room with the coronavirus, that they're looking for. Does the person starting to develop pneumonia? And that's when the danger actually occurs.
Okay. So what are the symptoms of pneumonia?
Well, the symptoms of pneumonia, of course, you have quite a bit of inflammation in through the chest. You have chest pain when you breathe or cough is one of the major types of symptoms that are going on with that. Because you have a lowered oxygenation, you don't have the oxygen going to the brain, so you can have some confusion, changes in mental awareness, especially people 65 and older. You also have chronic cough that you're trying to clear out the lungs, so the body tries to get a cough going to try to bring stuff up. Fatigue, because of course you have lowered oxygenation and throughout this the system, so everything's tired. You have fever, sweating, shaking, and chills. Now, when you are in a healthy state, then you have fever. Now, if you are in an unhealthy state, when you're older, you have a weakened immune system, or you're taking different types of medications that could be lowering your immune system response, you actually have a lower temperature, body temperature.
So you might not necessarily have
If you have immune compromised system, then you don't have the body's response to the infection.
Okay.
So that's one of the things that can occur. You can also have nausea, vomiting, and diarrhea could be going along with that. But one of the biggest things, of course, is shortness of breath.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's difficult to breathe. And I know people who are going into the emergency room with the possibility of the virus, with fevers, things like that. One of the biggest things that they're checking on, first off, is are you having difficulty breathing?
Mm-hmm.
If you're not having difficulty breathing, then they just send you home.
Okay. So they just, do they do a spirometry test or a lung function test?
Well, the first thing that we recommend for having that checked is first they do SpO2. Mm-hmm. Which is oxygen saturation, and seeing, you know, if you're in 99, 98 percentile on that, then you probably don't have pneumonia.
Okay.
So they'll check that, then doing a spirometry test, then they go to the chest x-ray to see if it's actually showing up on that. Chest x-ray
right
or CT.
We're doing the spirometry free of charge, and checking our patients on that, which is the lung function capacity.
Right.
Very important. Okay. Well, when should you see a doctor when you suspect pneumonia?
Well, the first thing is difficulty breathing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are you having problems getting a full breath in? Then that's definitely a time that the emergency room really wants to know what's going on you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a very important type of thing. Chest pains, persistent fever of 102 or above, persistent cough, especially coughing up pus. Mm-hmm. Now, with the coronavirus, it's usually a dry cough.
Mm-hmm.
The reason that is because this is a new virus that the body's not used to, so it's not responding to it. And that's one of the dangers of the coronavirus, the new COVID-19, is it's a new virus that has hit human beings.
Mm-hmm.
So our body doesn't recognize it as a foreign invader right away. And so you don't have the immune response. You don't have the normal type of defenses that actually help protect you. So that's why it's so dangerous, you know, because our bodies have to identify it and then know that it's something to fight against.
Mm-hmm.
Because all the mucus and sputum and those types of things are part of the body's defense mechanism and part of the inflammatory process. So the dry cough is one of mm-hmm. the things. If you're getting mucus
mm-hmm.
from your cough, then you probably don't have the COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
Which
it's
is one
more
thing
the dry cough that you need to be concerned about.
It's a dry cough that's actually more important. And also, you know, if you're getting green or yellow mucus, then that's bacterial.
Mm-hmm.
If it's clear, it's probably viral.
Okay.
So one of the things is people are having a lot of upper respiratory infections, not just the COVID-19,
mm-hmm.
but there's a tremendous amount of that going around
the
right
now. The
upper
respiratory.
Yeah, it's something that develops the longer that we go without sunshine and heat.
Yeah.
Because both of those things kill upper respiratory infections.
Mm-hmm.
So when we can start getting into, everybody can be praying for bright sunny days and a little bit more temperature higher.
Yeah.
That actually helps with upper respiratory infections, really trying to keep those down. You know, one thing that people are saying, you know, should I take an antibiotic or shouldn't I?
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to if you don't have a bacterial infection.
Right.
So looking for the color of the sputum, when you have bacteria, you're going to have a sputum that's either green colored or yellow colored.
Mm-hmm.
If it's clear, it's probably not bacterial.
Mm-hmm.
Most likely viral, it could be mycoplasma or fungal. You don't need to probably be taking an antibiotic at that time because antibiotics weaken the immune system. So a 10-day supply of an antibiotic, mm-hmm. which is necessary if you need it.
Right.
But it does weaken your immune system for 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a weakened immune system, and now's not the time to have a weakened immune system.
No.
So, you know, somebody just say, well, take an antibiotic, isn't a good idea. You need to make sure that you actually have a bacterial infection to take an antibiotic right now.
So how is pneumonia diagnosed?
Well, pneumonia, the main way that you do that is chest x-rays mm-hmm. or CT scans. But again, sort of the way that they will check that is, you know, the symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
First, are you having difficulty breathing? How's your cough? The normal types of things. Checking what's your oxygen saturation.
Mm-hmm.
SpO2 is the next thing that they do. The chest x-ray is really the thing that shows it up, whether it's actually a pneumonia or not.
Okay. Who's at most risk for pneumonia?
Well,
I'm sure the elderly.
Yes. They used to call pneumonia the old man's friend.
The old man's friend. Hmm.
So when people get older and debilitated, it's oftentimes pneumonia that actually takes them.
Mm-hmm.
So people over 65 are most at risk for...
Those are the elderly? You're almost there, hon.
And, you know, so those are actually... And it has to do a lot because the elderly starts to get immune compromised.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can keep your immune system up, then you don't fall into that category.
Yeah.
Children younger than 2 are also at higher risk because their immune system isn't developed yet. So after 2 years old is when the immune system kind of kicks in. Up until then, babies are supposed to be dependent upon mother's milk for their immune system.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where they're supposed to be getting it from.
And that's why we're keeping our grandbabies at home right
there
now.
There you go.
Yes.
Right. So children under 2 years old, underlying health conditions, you know, if you have asthma, if you have any type of lung issues, things that are going along those lines, or a weakened immune system, or you're taking drugs that actually weaken the immune system, chemotherapy, if you're taking, have an autoimmune disease, and you're taking drugs to suppress the immune system, that you're at really high risk.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you're at higher risk if you're taking cholesterol-lowering medicine.
The statins.
Yeah, the statins, because what they do is they weaken, the cholesterol is the main thing that strengthens the cell walls.
Mm-hmm.
And if the cell walls are weaker, then you're more susceptible, especially to viruses. So those are the things that we're looking for on the high risk.
Okay. We come back more on pneumonia. We're going to talk about the causes of pneumonia.
Listen to the Voice of Health Radio on your smartphone or tablet on all of the top radio apps available. TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. You can find these apps and more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. Laughter is the best medicine.
One trainer put me on the no-carb, the Atkins. They said after a week you won't have any carb cravings. I felt lied to. I had cravings. When you drive by a bakery and you jump out of a moving vehicle, that's a craving. I had hallucinations. I thought Dr. Phil was on my front lawn. John, come out here and exercise. You can't be big if your lifestyle won't allow it. Get off my lawn! Unless you have donuts. Every time the doorbell rang, I thought it was pizza. Come to save me.
The Voice of Health Minute with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice.
The biggest thing that I talk about with upper respiratory infections is vitamin A. Now, you can get a toxic level of vitamin A, so just taking vitamin A on a regular basis without monitoring it is not a good idea. What you can do is beta-carotene. Beta-carotene is a precursor to vitamin A, and you can take huge amounts of beta-carotene with absolutely no possibilities of any problems associated. The beta-carotene is a very, very safe way to do that, and you can take large amounts of it, and it really helps with upper respiratory infections. That is recognized as probably the best treatment by the World Health Organization for upper respiratory infections, because vitamin A basically boosts the immunoglobulin A, and the immunoglobulin A is what protects your gut and protects your lungs. Beta carotene is a great way to do that.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. The Prather Practice, restoring hope. Are you frustrated by not getting to the root cause of your health issue? Are you tired of not knowing why you're always fatigued? Are you wanting to say no to toxic drugs? Have you lost hope? Are you just tired of being sick and tired? At the Prather Practice, we want you to know that we have the answers for you. We offer the alternative to the disease care model. We are the drug-free model to health and wellness. At the Prather Practice, we look for the underlying cause of your health problem and not just the symptomatology. Through thorough diagnostics, we find your individual health blueprint for your treatment. Where the disease care model is symptom-based, the structure-function model we practice gets to the root of your health issue. The Prather Practice is the most comprehensive wellness center in the Midwest. Our integrated practice offers you the most treatment options to restore your health and your hope. Learn more about the Prather Practice by calling 317-848-8048 or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. Lisa Prather, and you're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where we get to the root cause of your health issue.
Well, we're talking today about pneumonia. And Dr. Prather, what are the causes of pneumonia?
Well, it's irritation to the lungs. So most of it, 99% of the time, it's infections. Mm-hmm. So the type of infections that can cause pneumonia are, of course, bacterial, viral, fungal, and mycoplasma.
Yeah, and I don't think people think about, they just think viral and bacterial.
Right.
But they're fungal.
Sure.
And then this mycoplasma. Okay, good. You're going to describe that.
Sure, absolutely.
So let's talk about bacterial infections. What bacterial infections can cause pneumonia? And how are they treated medically?
Well, the bacterial pneumonia is the number one. You know, when they talk about getting a shot for pneumonia, they're talking about Streptococcus pneumonia.
Okay.
And that's the number one infection that causes death. So the Streptococcus pneumonia is probably the most dangerous one, and the one that, you know, you really have to look out for. Mm-hmm. And that's the one that you can get the vaccination for. You also have Haemophilus influenza is also involved with that. Staphylococcus, another Streptococcus, Neisseria, Klebsiella. In other words, there's quite a few.
Uh-huh. With big old names.
With big old names. So there's quite a few different bacteria that can be involved in that. Oftentimes what they'll do with a bacteria is get a swab, try to get a swab on that, grow it, and then you can find out exactly which antibiotic will work on that. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things, of course, we're talking about antibiotics as something that's very helpful for bacterial pneumonias, which is absolutely true. However, that is changing. The CDC, World Health Organization, has said that we live in a post-antibiotic age. Many of these types of bacterial infections have strains of that are antibiotic resistant. So, you know, we need to change our thinking on how sometimes we need to approach it.
Right.
One, you're supposed to take a culture of the bacteria, grow it in a petri dish, and then add the antibiotics and see which ones it's resistant to and which ones it's susceptible to, and then take those to actually kill the bacteria. One of the things that we do is a GI stool kit, and they grow the bacteria in a petri dish, and then they check it, and then tell us which antibiotics are still working against it. And most of the time, most antibiotics are the bacteria are resistant to. So many times now we're having to go with more structure function type of care.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can approach this from two different types of ways. You can either go after it by building up the body's immunity, or you can go out by attacking the infection itself. And anymore, we're really starting to have to look at really rebuilding the body's immunity.
And that's what we do at the Prather Practice.
That's where structure function comes in. Now, the disease care model is you attack the infection, which is also very legitimate. But the bacteria, the viruses, the fungus, the mycoplasma, they reproduce every minute.
Mm-hmm.
So they are changing and adapting to, they don't want to be killed. So they're adapting to this a lot quicker than we are. So this is something that we need to be very aware of and be willing to approach this from different angles, too.
Yeah, and I can't imagine every doctor office having a petri dish. And I mean, how long does that take?
Well, that usually takes some, that takes some time.
Right.
And sometimes you don't have that much time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why oftentimes they do that later on. But really, you should be doing that right away and only in serious conditions.
I mean, it makes sense to know specifically which bacteria it is.
And which antibiotic are actually, they know which one's going to work, because if you start hitting it with antibiotics that it's already resistant to, it just makes it stronger. That's why hospitals and nursing homes are so much more dangerous to get the infections. Because everybody's on medications in there.
Yeah.
And you get stronger strains of the infection in a hospital or in a nursing home than you do outside. That's why it's dangerous. You really shouldn't, during this time, be, one, going to hospitals or going into nursing homes, because your chances of actually getting a more virulent strain. So as you're looking at infections, you're looking at the strength of the infection and the amount of infection that comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're also looking at the body's resistance. So you want to cut down on your exposure, and then you also want to raise up your resistance. And that's how to approach this.
Okay. Well, let's talk about, we just talked about the bacterial infections that can cause pneumonia. What about viral infections?
Well, viral infections, of course, the big one is the influenza.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one that actually causes the most problems. You have the RSV, a respiratory syncytial virus, rhinovirus, adenovirus, chickenpox, measles actually can kick that off too, and the coronavirus
mm-hmm.
are things that can actually cause the viral pneumonia. Those are a list of those. And when you have a viral infection, you don't have, it's more of a clear mucus is how the body responds on that.
Uh-huh.
So you don't have the discoloration. And it's a good way to, patient called me up and said, you know, that of course we don't have them come in to our office when they have fever and sick. We mm-hmm. send them to the emergency room. And they checked me and they said, well, definitely you don't have the coronavirus. You don't have pneumonia at this time. Here's an antibiotic. Go ahead and you can take that.
That's what she was told.
If you want to, right.
Yeah.
And I sat there and I said, well, what color's the mucus? And she said, clear. And I said, well, don't take the antibiotic.
Mm-hmm.
It's not probably bacterial at that point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get a blood test too and then send it to me and we can check the neutrophils, lymphocytes, check on that. But if you don't need to take an antibiotic, don't take one because it sets you up for further infections.
Mm-hmm. Because that lowers the immune system.
Lowers the immune system.
Well, what is walking pneumonia and what causes it and how is it treated?
Well, interestingly enough, 20% of all pneumonias are walking pneumonia.
Okay.
And out there. And that's caused by the mycoplasma pneumonia. People go, what's that?
Right.
Well, mycoplasma.
I'm one of those.
Yeah, you know, you think about mycoplasma, you kind of think of this gelatinous type of thing that is sort of a shapeshifter.
I just think of biology class.
Yeah, right. Then, yeah, you don't have a real enthusiastic look on your face when you're talking about, but that wasn't your favorite subject. One of my favorites, luckily, that should be. But when you're talking about mycoplasma, you're talking about sort of a shapeshifter.
Mm-hmm.
It can actually shift between bacterial, fungal, viral.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's a very difficult one to go after. Again, you don't really go down with it. It's mm-hmm. sort of a situation where you walk around, and it's like, this thing's just never going away, but it's not really putting me down.
Mm-hmm.
That's usually mycoplasma.
Okay.
And we have some specific types of things that work on that. There are different herbals. There are different things to take along those lines
mm-hmm,
to actually combat it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because the antibiotics, it becomes very resistant to antibiotics very quickly and doesn't respond very well to those types of treatments.
Mm-hmm. So it's that shape shifter.
Yeah. Another one that's mm-hmm. kind of out there is the Legionella pneumonia.
Mm.
There's about 5,000 hospitalizations, but that doesn't transfer from person to person.
Mm-hmm.
That's in the water supply. So you get it from hot tubs or steam showers or things along those lines, and you breathe it in. Mm-hmm. Usually hits people who are older, but that can actually be a real dangerous one.
Well, that's interesting you should say that. My dad and his wife live in a continuum of care down in Florida, and they close the pool and...
Right.
Jacuzzi.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Because that can actually kick up quite a few problems associated with that.
Now, what is fungal pneumonia and how is that treated?
Now, fungal pneumonia, I've had quite a few fungal pneumonias this year. Usually because they've
patients
already...
Patients coming in.
Yeah, patients that are coming in.
Not you personally.
Yeah, right. No. No. Patients who have come in with fungal pneumonia. The most common one in this area is histoplasmosis.
Mm-hmm. In Indiana.
In Indiana. It's bird droppings, but Indianapolis was built on a swamp. I made good farmland, but if you dig it up, then you are bringing up a whole bunch of old bird poop.
Mm, wonderful.
So histoplasmosis is real common through this area. You can also have pneumocystis and cryptococcus are also different types of pneumonia that you can be need to be aware of.
Mm-hmm.
But histoplasmosis is the main one. And usually the reason that I get them is because they've already tried the antibiotics and tried some different types of infections. There are antifungals, but quite frankly, they don't work that well.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to, again, approach this from you're going to boost the system. And we have excellent results with that. So the histoplasmosis is a major one to be aware of and can be causing a lot of lung issues and might be something that's overlooked.
When we come back, let's talk about the role of structure function care in the treatment of pneumonia.
Never miss an episode of The Voice of Health so that you can stay informed and empowered about your health. Get a podcast of our show automatically delivered to you every week by signing up for our show on iTunes. You can find that link on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. And don't forget, thevoiceofhealthradio.com has complete archives of all of our past episodes with an audio library of information to help you add more life to your years and more years to your life. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice. What is ECP therapy?
ECP stands for external counterpulsation therapy. And just to put it into a nutshell, ECP is an aerobic exercise machine. Now you sit there and say, well, why do you need an aerobic exercise machine? It is the number one treatment for cardiovascular disease. If you look at the research and want to find out, well, how do I fix my cardiovascular disease, you know, whatever it might be, always within the scientific literature, aerobic exercise is one of the most proven, most effective means of reversing cardiovascular disease. So, but the problem is I have people who I sit there and I look at them and I say, well, you know, what do I do about this problem that I have, Doc? And I said, well, go out and run 5 miles, you know, every day. And of course, they all laugh because you know, it took every effort that they had from going to the waiting room into the exam room,
right?
And they're out of breath. So that didn't work. So what was actually done was develop a machine that actually simulates the effects on the body of aerobic exercise, and that's where ECP comes in. And what occurs with ECP is that there's actually a second heart kind of put into the body.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the outside, but as the heart goes into relaxation, that's when it actually gets its blood. So what we do is we actually have blood pressure cuffs around the legs. It presses on the legs, and we get a huge amount of blood that goes back up to the heart. And the heart is very regenerative, and you get about 10 times as much oxygen with this particular type of treatment than what you normally would. And you get a regeneration of the heart. You also get a cleaning out of the arteries. And you actually get a huge amount of changes in the whole physiology of the body. So all the benefits of aerobic exercise are actually found in ECP, which are absolutely the number one way that you can be able to reverse cardiovascular disease, diabetes, and many other problems.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. The Prather Practice, restoring hope. The 1-2-3 punch to boost your immune system.
They don't have a medication for the coronavirus. But one of the ways that you can do that is boosting your own immune system. Beta carotene is a very, very safe way to do that. You can take large amounts of it, and it really helps with upper respiratory infections. The viruses have to be able to penetrate the cell wall. And monolaurin builds up the cell wall and makes it stronger. And if you are taking cholesterol-lowering drugs, you're much more susceptible to viruses. We, at this point, can make a homeopathic for all the coronaviruses, and then we can also add in the homeopathic for the COVID-19, which helps the body to isolate and to boost the immune system to attack the coronavirus. Mm-hmm. That's what homeopathics do. 1-2-3 punch, three simple types of things: beta carotene, the monolaurin, and the homeopathic.
Call the Prather Practice and learn more about our 1-2-3 punch to boost your immune system. 317-848-8048. Or learn more at thevoiceofhealthradio.com.
Don't stop believing. Hold on to that feeling, yeah. Streetlights.
You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where our mission is restoring hope to our patients.
We're talking today about pneumonia, which is important with the coronavirus. We've been in the midst of...
Having an understanding of when coronavirus, you know, the COVID-19 becomes dangerous is when it becomes pneumonia.
And I didn't realize there's so much to pneumonia, and there's so many different kinds of pneumonia.
Yes, it does get complicated, and people just think of, well, I take an antibiotic and I get over my pneumonia. Mm-hmm. It can actually be a complicating factor.
Well, I think of the Muppets. What was his name? Henson?
Yeah, Jim Henson.
Didn't he die from taking an antibiotic?
Well, he had streptococcus. He went and took an antibiotic, and it was a antibiotic-resistant streptococcus, and it actually took off on him at that point.
Oh, my gosh. Killed him. Just spread. Yeah. Okay, well, so, let's talk about the complications of pneumonia.
Sure. Well, the big thing that becomes a huge problem is if it's bacterial, it can actually then go into the bloodstream. Mm-hmm. When it goes into the bloodstream, it can start attacking different organs, attacking different areas, and that's a major, major issue. So that's one of the reasons that making sure that we have antibiotics that work mm-hmm. is an important thing, and being good stewards, because that really saved a lot of lives. And unfortunately, we've overused our antibiotics and cut down on its effectiveness. So making sure that we have ways of combating that is something that's very important. Of course, the complication of pneumonia is you can't breathe. Mm-hmm. Breathing is really helpful. I always tell patients,
is helpful.
Yeah, breathe deep, because my patients who quit breathing don't remain as good patients. So then you can actually get sort of a buildup of fluid in the pleural lining. Mm-hmm. Very painful. That's when you get pain in the chest. Mm-hmm. Very important sign. And then lung abscesses. So I've had quite a few patients that we've done chest x-rays, and they said, well, we have an old lung abscess, but nothing else going on at this time. Mm-hmm. And that cuts down on your capacity to breathe. So those are the major complications that are involved with that. And the biggest one is not being able to breathe.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the role that structure function care play in pneumonia. And I want to go back to, you know, we talked about the spirometry, you know, the lung function test. We check the oxygenation.
Sure.
And do the chest x-ray. So at the Prather Practice, we can check all those things.
Correct.
So what role does structure function care play
well,
in pneumonia?
Again, in the whole equation, the big thing that you're looking at is your own body's ability to fight off the infection. Mm-hmm. So the big thing that we can work on, and the thing that we can be in control of, is how well our body responds. Mm-hmm. So the things that we put into it, the things that we do, how well we take care of ourselves, increases the immune system, and we can have a very big effect on that. Mm-hmm. So what we're looking for in structure function is getting the body working as well. One of the things that I'm looking at quite a few patients is how well is their immune system working. I have quite a few cancer patients right now. And one of the things is all of them, when they're starting out with us, have a weakened and compromised immune system. So one of the first things that we're looking for is that immune system coming back to normal. Mm-hmm. Which increases their chance of survival, keeping other infections away. And we see that on a very consistent basis, we're able to get that immune system up to where it needs to be. Mm-hmm. So really working on those compromised immune systems, getting that up to par, is the main thing that we're working for structure function care.
Yes.
But also, we can work on reducing the inflammatory response. That's one of the big things that we're looking at. We're trying to get the C-reactive protein under control, the homocysteine erythrocyte sedimentation rate, making sure that the response of the body is doing better, mm-hmm. keeping the liver clean. The liver, if it's not working up to par, the liver enzymes should be between 18 and 30. If they're too low on that, then the body isn't able to detox it as well, which makes it much easier to raise up your inflammatory response, makes you more susceptible to pneumonia. Also, if you have too high of liver enzymes, then you already have an inflammatory process, and you're much more likely to actually develop pneumonia if you get an infection.
Mm-hmm. So keeping that liver clean.
Yeah, and then kidney function.
Mm-hmm.
How well are your kidneys filtering? Something called the glomerular filtration rate is something that we need to look at. Is that actually filtering as it should, which also helps out with the
Now, why is structure function care becoming much more important now?
Well, the bugs out there are getting stronger and getting better at adapting. The fungal, the virals, the bacteria are all becoming resistant. So we need to really shift our focus. We need to be working on new ones.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, we've got to not only think about that, but also making people stronger and healthier. How do we work on that and actually get that response going?
So what means of boosting the body's immune system are available at the Prather practice?
Well, one of the big things when you're talking about upper respiratory infections, one of the best treatments is vitamin A.
Mm-hmm.
What we're doing is one of the things that we're recommending is beta carotene as a preventative type of thing.
That's part of our immune booster package.
That's part of our immune booster package. So getting that beta carotene into our system, one is a very excellent preventative. Now, if you actually have a upper respiratory infection going on, you can start taking vitamin A drops as a treatment. The World Health Organization recommends for upper respiratory infections, vitamin A is probably one of the major frontline types of things that occur. The worst of the upper respiratory is measles, extremely contagious, actually the most contagious of all of them. And the best treatment out there is actually vitamin A.
Mm-hmm.
And who gets the really severe cases and who doesn't is basically the level of the vitamin A of the patient.
Mm-hmm.
Another way is vitamin D. Vitamin D is extremely important.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things and one of the reasons that the influenza season is during the winter is because of the lowered vitamin D that people have.
Need that sunshine.
So getting your vitamin, you can take too much, so getting a blood test on that, there's not an easy blood test for vitamin A.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's nice to take the beta carotene, because you can get too much vitamin A
mm-hmm.
and get toxic on it. But very important for the immune system, so the beta carotene is a nice compromise on that.
I know also we have a diathermy unit. Let's talk a little bit about that we offer at the Prather practice.
Sure.
What is diathermy and how does it help pneumonia?
Diathermy was invented to actually combat pneumonia.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reason that it was put out there. Diathermy increases circulation and lymphatic flow and is an excellent treatment for pneumonia. What wasn't used as much when antibiotics came out.
Yeah.
So it was something that is a great backup. And for those patients that we've had that have had lung issues, weren't responding, diathermy was always used and very, very effective mm-hmm. on clearing up lungs. Excellent.
So what can people do to boost their own immune system?
Well, they really need to be getting plenty of sleep, avoiding stress, good diet, mm-hmm. no alcohol, definitely don't smoke. And I'm talking about smoking anything because the marijuana is actually even worse.
Mm-hmm.
So people who go into...
Don't smoke anything.
Don't smoke anything. Mm-hmm. Don't put extra stress on your lungs.
Mm-hmm.
Good humor actually does,
right.
Good comedies.
That way. Blood cell, yeah.
Increases the white blood cell, increases the immune system. So just keeping a good attitude during this time, avoiding stress, eating right. One of the things that people might think about is during this time, are medications absolutely necessary?
Mm-hmm.
One of the things is cholesterol-lowering medicine kind of weakens the immune system, the cell walls. So one of the things we have is something called vericidin.
And that's part of our
thing. Yeah. It strengthens the cell walls and especially good for viral infections.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the things that we highly, highly recommend to strengthen cell walls. And the vericidin is specifically for viral.
Well, let's go over that immune booster package here as we close. We got the beta carotene was the precursor to vitamin A included. Mm-hmm. We have three products. That's one of them. The vericidin that builds up the cell walls. And then the third one, Dr. Prather.
Is a homeopathic, and what it does is it helps the body to identify coronaviruses.
Mm-hmm.
And we do have it actually set for the general coronaviruses, but specifically for the COVID-19, which helps the immune system to identify it and help to fight it.
Okay. Well, thank you, Dr. Prather. Very informative.
Thank you, Lisa.
All right.
The Prather practice is located at 8902 North Meridian Street on the north side of Indianapolis, just south of the I-465 loop. If we can help you to achieve better health, we'd love to hear from you. Connect with our office at 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Join us again here next week or anytime on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com for The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather.